This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Up on Free FM, RFM, and MP. As always, I'm Gradian, live on Discord. We got Josh. We took a look at SummerSlam last week, and that means it is time to do the typical thing and look at the results from SummerSlam this week. 12 matches across two nights. We're going to start from the start and see where we go. But first up, Liv Morgan, Io Sky for that Women's World Championship.
Honestly, I questioned when they saw that this was going to be the first match of the night, because I was like, because we were convinced that it should be Cody versus Punk. And I will say this, it was the right call. Those ladies, they put on a show. They had 13 and a half minutes and they made the most of it.
Yeah, I think we were coming out of night one, and I'm sure we'll get to the one, but we're talking about how many of these night one matches were bangers, and I think Liv versus Io just sort of set the tone for the night, came out strong, and given the WWE Championship match went for half an hour, probably having it opening probably wouldn't have necessarily have set the tone the way that this sort of match between these two did. I was like, hey, let's just change it off, Liv. Let's do something. Let's break up the Judgment Day. We didn't quite get it. We continue to hint to it, but they redeemed us on Raw. They returned Becky Lynch, stare down with Liv Morgan. They returned Stephanie Vaquer, beat down of Liv Morgan. They kind of bolstered that Raw women's division ready to go. So I'm a little okay with it.
Yeah, and I think they really set up for what I think is a surprise, because we've been convinced this entire time that everything would turn on Liv. I think they've set it up so Roxanne gets turned on, and she gets spun out and becomes a star.
Yeah, it's what I'm hoping, especially after what we saw on Raw. She's the only one without a title. The question is just with the Becky Lynch factor and the Stephanie factor.
I mean, who's to say that the Roxanne turn has to happen immediately? We can still have Becky versus Liv. We can have Stephanie versus Liv. We can have Stephanie versus Becky to get to Liv. I think where we're at here is, because I think it was very important that in that promo, Liv specifically called Raquel, our new Intercontinental Champion, her best friend, but called Roxanne just nothing more than her protege. I think that is where we're going with it. I think there's a strong chance. I know you're going to hate this because it might lead to this lasting until WrestleMania next year. I think there's a strong chance of Roxanne winning the Rumble and facing Liv.
Look, I'm a big Roxanne fan, so I'm not going to be too sad, but if this is going to last that long, at least let's defend the title.
let's defend the title a long way. Yeah, that's why we brought back Becky. That's why we brought back Stephanie.
Yeah. We'll see how it all rocks out. I'm definitely interested in it if it is a Roxanne solo potential face turn. Did like Roxanne's work on NXT. Quite happy with it. Let's see if we pull that trigger. But let's go 6-man tag team match that was up next. LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, Royce Keys. They managed to take down the Bloodline.
A pretty darn good match. I think tied for maybe the moment of the night was Solo Sikoa running it back on Che. That was just so funny. And seeing people just pop for it and seeing people going nuts for it online, it kind of feels gratifying, because we have said for 2 years This is what Solo can be. His facial expressions, his personality. If you let him be Solo Sokoa and actually go with it, I think you've got a massive, massive star. People are already comparing him to the late 98, 99 Rock, which was probably Rock's best years in terms of personality. And
I think we've also got... You go. We've got the direction for all three of these guys as well, right? That's what I was really worried about with this match. I did think the Bloodline would win, and then I would just sort of question where they all go. But, you know, LA Knight challenging Roman Reigns, Royce Keyes getting outright murdered by Jacob Fatu on Raw, and Solo Sikoa making a splash. So we're going to hopefully do something with these guys, maybe?
Yeah. I think... I don't know for sure if Knight is the actual next opponent for Roman. Something tells me something might get in the way of that, but we're not far away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Solo. Honestly, there's a world where Solo Sikoa helps LA Knight beat Roman Reigns. Imagine that.
Crazy.
What that would be like. The only thing I beg they keep going with this for face turn for Solo. Do not put him back with the Bloodline. It will kill everything that you've done for him.
Yeah, we got to say that every week, I feel like. We'll just come on the show and just say, again, please, no Solo and Bloodline. And then we move on. To Gunther Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis gave up his GM position to go into the match, put on a banger with Gunther, came out in defeat, and was reinstated that night.
Match. If that's the only match he has in WWE, he has nothing to complain about. That was as good as the match as you could help when not wrestling for 3 years.
Yeah, I think it was. I said at the time it was going to be similar to Pat McAfee. I think it was similar. In this case, it was. And we'll probably talk about this match from night two, just because it bleeds into it. Nick Aldis. We had the Finn Balor versus Sami Zayn match for the number one contendership, and Nick Aldis comes out and announces that Gunther's going to be added to that match. And you see a bit of like, now you're listening to me from Gunther. And so I don't know if we're going to continue to develop his relationship with the general manager, but it's an interesting dynamic for your boss to kind of give up their bossness, fight you, and then go back to being your boss. But it's an interesting dynamic with Gunther, and I think the other thing with that triple threat was that it then got turned into a fatal four-way with the returning Kevin Owens and absolutely bolstering that SmackDown main event scene.
Yeah, I will say this. Gunther being added in, I could have seen coming, because it was always intertwined with the storyline. I did not see Kevin Owens returning. I thought Kevin Owens was done. I'm happy to see him back. I think the match with him and Punk will be really good. And it also adds to conspiracy Sami Zayn. The world is out to get him, so much so that his best friend stabbed him in the back and took his title match.
Yeah, Sami Zayn, you know, we talk about him exploding or cracking or flipping or whatever he needs to do. He's getting closer and closer. And it's been good that story development has been in the main event and not, you know, over the Intercontinental title or over a mid-card title. And we saw him get his win. He didn't get to keep it. It does feel like we're now going to build potentially, and I don't want to run back the circumstances exactly, but potentially to Sami Zayn winning at next year's WrestleMania. No comment geographically, but SmackDown is stacked. I can't say it anymore. Obviously, Kevin Owens, CM Punk is the next clash, but we can talk about what happened in that WWE Championship match as well, because that continues to stack SmackDown.
Yeah, which we kind of already referenced when I said Punk versus Owens, because Punk retained. And he retained by the return of Randy Effin Orton.
For me, I'm just glad that we didn't try and shoehorn the title into Cody Randy. You know, we could have switched the title onto Cody here and then had Randy come out and sort of set them up for the title. It gives us a main event feud that is not over the championship. So now you've got, you know, Punk Owens, you got Rhodes Orton, you can any combination Zayn Gunther Bella, if you want to spin another feud with Zayn's continued crashing out. But it's good to see Randy back. He moved well. Don't know how many more years we got of Randy, but I want to see him against Cody again for sure.
Yeah. And I will say they've gotten really good at showing disappointed Cody Rhodes when he loses. But I will say this, Finn Balor was far, far more. I have more sympathy for Finn Balor at the end of the Fatal 4-Way match than I do for Cody Rhodes. And somebody kicked Finn's puppy. That was a sad look.
Hey, at least I Finn didn't take Nick the pin. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Finn goes from here, because I'm quite enjoying this moving back to treating Finn like a real main eventer. Referencing his one shot at the title where he won, got injured. It's cool, and always love to rotate those guys who are in those top few spots. So let's give Balor another shot up the top as well. We got almost time for our song. So let's talk about the match that leads into our song. The interim women's championship was on the line. It was a 5-way ladder match. Tiffany Stratton, Lash Legend, Jade Cargill, Charlotte Flair, and Chelsea Green. I wrote her off. You had her as your heart choice, and damn, you got what you wanted.
Yep. I had literally typed out in our chat, damn it, they cost Green the match when B-Fab and Mitchin came out and kept her from getting the title. And I never sent it. and I'm glad I did, because I would have had to eat my words. Because after a very awkward finish with Flair and Jade taking each other off the ladder somehow, and Green just dangling there for 5 minutes, it seemed, upside down, she rights herself, climbs the ladder, and takes the title and becomes the interim champion, which is an official title reign, by the way. They have declared that it was going to be an official reign. There's not going to be any funkiness with it. So she is officially a Triple Crown champion, and a Triple Crown champion under the new definition, if you want to go that way, with using the mid-card titles, which are only two.
Yeah, I think well-deserved, even though I'd written her off, right? It was well-deserved. I just thought maybe we would break glass and go with Charlotte Flair. I think that I want to ignore a good chunk of the match. Maybe don't put like three or four horses or a big strong woman in the match. I don't know, as you said, the finish was kind of clunky as well. For me, this night two was like the night of the moments, and this was one of them. You typed it out, you didn't send it. The pop for Charlotte, for Chelsea reaching for that title the first time, insanity. And I think if anybody backstage was having second guesses about letting Chelsea win it in the end, that pop for the fake out should have put all of those to rest. The crowd wanted it, and then you made them wait a little bit, and then they got what they wanted.
She has worked her butt off, and she has become undeniable, regardless of what some producers might say. I sat here and I said last week, the best storyline that I could see coming out of this would be Chelsea winning, her holding it for a couple months to Money in the Bank, and then losing to a cash-in via JC Jane. Because that would be the thing that will piss fans off the most and get heat on JC. And you could have her upset Rhea in that match at Money in the Bank. And then be cashed in. And But I think that's the where we're going. So we're only going to have a 2 month title reign for Chelsea. But what a 2 months it will be.
It's two more months than I thought we'd ever see. Well, that is time then to go into our entrance theme. We've kind of already spoiled it, but it's Chelsea Green.
Shh. It's Chelsea Green.
On Free FM, RFM, and MPR. Jumping back to night one, we had a six-woman tag team match, Fatal Influence versus the Bella Twins and Paige. I'm going to fast-forward the 8 minutes of the match, talk about the outcome. Bella Twins flipping on Paige. You know, we got the return of Nikki. We're like, cool, we can run the Bella Twins. We flip on Paige, and it also looks like Brie may have hurt herself in this match.
Yeah, she's got an arm injury that's going to take her out for 3 to 6 months. I don't know what it's called, but it's not good. But yeah, we're exactly where we expected, minus one Bella. We just traded out a Bella for another one. And the Fatal Influence gets a win over them and gets to continue on their route. While you have the tag titles on Henley and Reed, and working our way to our planned JC Jane title ring.
Yeah, it feels cursed, because it does feel like they would have eventually have wanted Nikki and Brie to win those titles, to put them in the, you know, the history books of those reigns. But, you know, we had Brie and Paige teaming. Now we're going to have Nikki and Paige presumably feuding for at least a little while. We'll see how quickly they can adapt to the injury and figure out how the Bella Paige feud is going to go. But once it's all wrapped, I'm going to be glad, because we'll have some more women who can work in the main events, potentially shifting over to Raw. Who knows? Even work against those mid-card titles, just to change up the faces. I'm going to put Femi and Lesnar on ice, our last match from night one that we haven't talked about. Talk about a couple more things from night two. United States Championship on the line. Trick Williams walking in with the title, but it was Baron Corbin walking out with it.
I told you so.
I knew it would happen. I just didn't want it to happen.
Yeah. Again, it was a case of where, what do I think is the most angering thing that they can do right now? Putting the title on Baron Corbin. I do think that maybe you might get your way in the finish of this match, maybe being a way to get rid of Little Yachty.
Yeah, I think he's done well as a manager, but he's kind of run his course a little bit. Especially if Trick is going to, because right now he's kind of playing tweener almost. If you dump Yachty, if we are going for a Money in the Bank win potentially with Trick, might want him face heading into that. I don't know, man. The crowd's behind him, whichever alignment he ends up going.
I'm going to throw out something for you as a potential possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Trick Williams wins the Money in the Bank, cashes in, and becomes WWE champion. Kamala Hayes wins the Royal Rumble. Kamala Hayes versus Trick Williams, WrestleMania.
I get it. We're trying to placate me. I wouldn't hate it. I think the percentage odds on it are a little low, but let's see where they go from here. I really do hope with Trick losing the title, this is him moving up and not laterally. Let's see where we go. We also had the Intercontinental Championship was on the line. Chad Gable, Penta, putting on a classic. And then we got the moment we'd all been waiting for.
Chad Gable had to go away, become somebody else, become in tune with the Mexican population, come back, and finally beats Penta for the first time ever and gets the title. Gets the title that he sold his soul to try to get and did not get. And only got it after he got his soul back.
Yeah, it's a great story, right? He only earns it once he's gone back to being himself, once he's, as you say, got the AAA fans behind him, once he starts respecting luchadors instead of seeing them as obstacles and not real wrestling. It goes in, it's a face-v-face, perfect story, lets Penta go off, do something else, gives Chad Gable the individual title that he deserves. Perfect.
And like you said with Trick Williams, I hope this is also a way to move Penta up the card.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time I see it, the visual of Penta's entrance is just incredible. And he's got a personality for days. I'm fine with him being the Latino star of the future. I'm fine with it being him or Dominic or them working together and being together the Latino stars of the future. But I think WWE's in a good place right now when it comes to that role, for the Rey Mysterio role.
100%. Hopefully good things out of Penta. And you mentioned Dominic Mysterio there. Let's talk his human monies on a pole match against Danhausen. I had to explain the concept of an on a pole match to my partner. They kind of just said, why don't you just grab it? Look, you don't question the on a pole match. It was an extended entertainment segment is my best description of this Danhausen-Dominic match.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, why don't, in a four quarters match, why don't you just pre-touch all four of them right before the match starts?
I know, right? You can't such a smart strategy.
Sometimes you just cannot inject logic into wrestling. In fact, more often than not, it's when it is illogical that it's at its best. And that is Danhausen in a nutshell. Illogical, but so much fun.
Yeah, this match obviously had the cameos from everybody that you'd kind of expect the cameos to make it from. Judgment Day all interfering, Joe Hendry's there, the minis are there. It was a good segment. I hope Dominic Mysterio is on his way up the card, but it's hard to tell what they're doing with him at the moment. The Judgment Day is weirdly fractured, but not fractured.
Yeah. I will say this. It was hilarious watching JD Dump McDonough chokeslam the minis and then get taken out by El Torito, which was referenced, by the way, on commentary.
Yeah.
Although he called him Toritohausen. And because he was the one mini that actually had talent, according to Corey Graves or Wade Barrett. That was great. I can't say more. It was a Danhausen match. Danhausen matches are going to be nutty. And I do think that things are going to turn around for Dominic soon, but he has to lose the AAA title first, which probably comes at Triple Mania.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to speed us up a little bit. We only got a couple more minutes left, and we got the two main events. So let's go Roman Seth first, World Heavyweight Championship on the line over half an hour, telling the story, the final clash. They called it the final chapter in the story of the Shield. Roman Reigns coming out on top. Pretty squeaky clean.
Yeah. I think that might be something about it. It's that Roman has said he does not want help. He wants this title reign to be different than the last one. That is going to come into play at some point and screw him over, but I don't think so. We're not going to see a 4-year title reign under those circumstances. but it adds layers to his character. He's trying to be honorable, but yet still sadistic. He comes out, congratulates Jacob Fatu for killing, I already forgot his name, Royce Keyes, and then comes back and is immediately greeted by Rey Mysterio, who has apparently paid no attention to the show, and introduces himself as the general manager of AAA and wants to do something with the Bloodline, apparently, at least assumedly. And it's like all these little elements of his characters, like they don't mesh together, but they still make sense. And I think the biggest thing was the chair that screwed him over at WrestleMania, the chair that was used against him that broke the Shield. He had a chance to use it again, and he tossed it. That was his way of getting rid of it. And he then on Raw, he called Seth his brother.
Hey. And so if that's the nice little ribbon that's going on the Shield, that's a pretty good ribbon. We don't have long, and so for the Hell in a Cell, all I'm going to say, Obafemi is the next big thing.
Yep. As spoken by Brock Lesnar, who called him the future, which is the same thing. And I love this match. There were so many callbacks to it with Brock's career, the stuff he did with Taker in the Cell matches, him ripping up the cell floor like he did the last time, tombstoning Oba on it, which caused an argument online, which with AEW people, like, you always complain about us doing no selling stuff. It's like, he sold. He kicked out. That was not a no sell. Oba's amazing, and it looks like there might be a feud with him and Bron Breakker coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to see what shakes out of it, but if there was any doubts, those doubts should be sealed away now. Obafemi is here. He is here to stay. He will be a top guy, and it is a matter of time before he sets his sights on a champion and that gold is around his waist. Alrighty, well, that is all we have time for this week. It's been great talking to you.
Bye, B.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestling RND, up our Twitter page, twitter.com/wrestling RND, up our YouTube page, youtube.com/wrestling RND, up. And we will catch you next week. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from 3, go, press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crowd stunning. Never win ever on record, there's no one to protect you. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.